surge in cases and a stay-at-home order. I'm Pam Puso, Fox News. Friday was another record-breaking day for coronavirus cases in the U.S. Johns Hopkins University says more than 205,000 new infections were recorded. As cases go up, so are restrictions. In Los Angeles County, a three-week stay-at-home order starts Monday.
Restaurants in the county already were recently barred from in-person dining. They can still offer pickup, delivery, and takeout services. And beaches, trails, and parks will remain open with safety requirements in place.
Fox's Ted Lindner. The U.S. may be moving closer to approving a virus vaccine, but supplies are limited. On Tuesday, a panel of U.S. advisors will vote on how to distribute the vaccine. Some experts believe healthcare workers should be first in line. Efforts by President Trump and his legal team to overturn the results of the election have hit another roadblock. A federal appeals court has rejected a request to block the certification of Pennsylvania's election.
President Trump's attorney Jenna Ellis described a three-judge panel ruling in Philadelphia as a continuation of a cover-up of the allegations of massive fraud and intends to appeal to the Supreme Court.
Fox's Jared Halpern, in a tweet posted after midnight that was flagged, President Trump reiterated his claim that the votes in Pennsylvania were rigged. Iran is promising retaliation for the ambush killing of a nuclear scientist that the regime blames on Israel.
This is not any Iranian scientist. This is Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, who is the head of the Iranian nuclear program and known as the father of the Iranian bomb. It is a huge blow to the Iranian nuclear program.
That's Fox's Benjamin Hall. Reports out of Israel say Israeli embassies have been put on high alert. America's listening to Fox News.
Sometimes in business, the unexpected comes calling. From rent increases to increased orders to, I'm going to say it, unprecedented times. But don't bounce back. Bounce forward with Comcast Business. Bounce forward fast with internet speeds up to a gig, with the flexibility to update your bandwidth in just a few clicks, and with security solutions that help keep your connected devices protected. Be fast, be flexible, be ready for what's next. And bounce forward with Comcast Business. Get started with 100 megabits per second internet and security edge for just $79.99 a month for 24 months of a three-year agreement. Switch today and get a $200 prepaid card plus a $100 bonus if you have Xfinity services at home. Call 1-800-501-6000 or go online today to learn more. Offer ends 12/6/20. Restrictions apply. New Comcast Business customers only. Enrollment and equal bill and auto payment required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment installation taxes and fees extra subject to change. Xfinity customers must subscribe to new business 100 megabits per second internet or above for additional prepaid card.
Today, President Trump will head to Georgia to campaign for two Senate Republicans who face competitive runoff elections in January.
The president's visit comes after trips by a string of Republican senators intent on building a firewall in Georgia and maintaining Republican control of the Senate, a key part of both Republican candidates' campaigns. The amount spent on TV ads alone is now approaching $300 million. The attacks on the screen and the stump are personal.
Fox's Steve Harrigan in Atlanta. Hundreds of suspected gang members have been rounded up in El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala as part of a week-long effort backed by the U.S. known as Operation Regional Shield. Those arrested face charges including extortion, kidnapping, and murder. The MS-13 gang was among the targeted groups. Instead of waiting on supermarket checkout lines, many Americans are finding themselves on food lines. According to U.S. Census data, nearly 26 million Americans reported not having enough to eat this past week.
According to Feeding America, 80% of food banks are serving more people than last year. 60% of them need volunteers, but the usual surge of holiday helpers is not showing up this year during the pandemic. With the record-breaking number at food banks, some organizations are bracing for food cliffs, meaning they don't have enough food or funding come next year to stay open.
Fox's Alex Hogan. The Red Cross is helping three families in Massachusetts following a Thanksgiving Day fire that investigators believe may have been caused by deep frying a turkey. According to a local TV station, some residents in New Bedford heard an explosion, then saw flames erupt at a home before spreading to neighbors. One woman says her neighbor told her that while deep frying a turkey, the propane tank exploded. I'm Pam Puso, and this is Fox News.
So far this morning, traffic is moving without delay on the Beltway throughout Maryland and Virginia. Do keep in mind that there is a long-term construction zone on the inner loop at Central Avenue. The off-ramp to go eastbound on Central Avenue is closed, and there's a new traffic pattern on the inner loop between Pennsylvania Avenue and Allentown Road. Your lanes no longer divide, all a four-lane shift over to the left. If you're traveling in Chevy Chase, do watch out for some construction on Connecticut Avenue, north and southbound between Chevy Chase Lake Drive and Manor Road, where the left lane is closed in each direction. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
On this Saturday, we will see some slightly cooler temperatures. It did reach the lower 60s yesterday. Highs today into the upper 50s. Later on tonight, it'll be clear and cold across the region. Lows in the 30s throughout the area, lower 30s in the suburbs, upper 30s closer to D.C. and points east towards the bay. We head towards your Sunday, morning sunshine, afternoon clouds, high temperatures in the mid-50s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Lee at the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
At GEHA, we believe that possible is for everyone, because possible isn't perfect. It's progress and persistence. Fun and fulfilling. Whether it comes in giant leaps or small steps. And with a wide variety of medical and dental plans designed for federal employees and their families, GEHA is here to help. With open season happening until December 14th, now is the time to choose your possible. Learn more at GEHA.com.
The McMillan Sedation Dentistry team changes lives every day with our compassion and expertise. Hi, I'm Dr. Alex McMillan, and if you fear going to the dentist, we're here to help you get the treatment you need. My staff is like family who provides a safe, comfortable home where we can create smiles our patients love in as little as one anxiety-free visit. At McMillan Sedation Dentistry, we offer comprehensive cosmetic and implant treatments from a single tooth to full mouth restoration all in one office with gentle sedation options. With years of advanced training, I'm able to provide solutions to the most challenging cases while keeping you comfortable and relaxed. My staff will work with you to tailor a treatment plan to fit your schedule and financial considerations. We change people's lives daily, and we can change yours today. Call us at 703-503-9490. Learn more and see our smile gallery at smileeasy.com. That's smileeasy.com.
This is Mike Donovan, host of Not Free America on Sundays at 10 a.m. right here on WMAL FM 105.9 in the nation's capital. This weekend on Not Free America Radio, economic disaster looms as our GDP crashes. What does losing a third of our economy really mean? Meanwhile, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo takes quarantining travelers to a new extreme. And we talk facts about qualified immunity in the American police state. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. right here on Not Free America Radio.
You need to make room.
Make room.
Make room.
For all the new stuff that's coming for Christmas.
Less junk, more happiness.
Less junk, more happiness.
Christmas is coming, coming, coming.
And you need to make room, room, room.
For your family, family, family.
It's time to celebrate the end of one year.
And the happy beginning of another.
So get rid of the old.
And make room for the new.
By calling 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
We make junk disappear.
All you have to do is point.
You can't imagine how much happier your family will be when all that junk is gone.
You're going to have the best holidays ever.
Your lights will twinkle brighter.
All your friends will be happier.
And your relatives will get along.
Your children will be cheerful and strong.
Less junk, more happiness.
Less junk, more happiness.
We make junk disappear.
All you have to do is point.
Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Or visit 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. Jeff Wolf is behind the console. Jane Houghton and our producer this morning, and we are glad that you have joined us this Thanksgiving Day weekend. And a couple of stories that we're following pretty closely now. In Iran, the top nuclear scientist was killed on Friday in an alleged assassination. The country's foreign minister is linking it to Israel. The scientist, Moshe Fakhrizadeh, considered one of the masterminds of Iran's controversial nuclear program, died after his car was apparently ambushed in a district east of Tehran. Photos from the scene showing the shattered windshield of the car Iranian state media said the killing appeared to be an assassination. Iran's defense minister, Brigadier General Amir Halami, was quoted by Iran's semi-official news agency as saying that Fakhrizadeh was targeted by gunfire and a Nissan vehicle explosion before a firefight ensued. The Iranian foreign minister, Zarif, called the death cowardice with serious indications of Israeli role. Iran is vowing vengeance. Fakhrizadeh was the head of the Research Center of New Technology in the elite Revolutionary Guards, was a leading figure in Iran's nuclear program for many years, and had actually been mentioned in an address by the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu back in 2018. President Trump retweeted Israeli journalist Yassim Melam's report, who wrote that he was assassinated in Dharmavadin, and that's east of Tehran, according to reports in Iran. He was the head of Iran's secret military program and wanted for many years. His death is a major psychological and professional blow for Iran. That's one story we're looking at this morning, and we'll talk with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer a bit more about the implications of that when we talk with Tony coming up in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. And, of course, coronavirus is atop the headlines. In Los Angeles County, the virus is surging. They are now urging residents to stay home for the next 3 weeks in Los Angeles. And also in Los Angeles, restaurant closures. And we do have a clip, just one note to give you a sense of the impact that the virus is having. This is Christy Vega. This is Cut A. And Christy Vega is a restaurant owner in Los Angeles. And you've seen it around, you've seen around the Washington area where people have been dining out because the restaurants have been able to set up tables along the sidewalk, actually in the street along the sidewalk. They've taken the parking lanes and allowed the restaurants to put up tables. So there's been a lot of outdoor dining in D.C., and of course that's seasonal. In Los Angeles, you can pretty much dine outside year-round. So many of the restaurants have spent thousands and thousands of dollars to set up outdoor dining. If you remember the jazz great Herb Alpert, he and his son own a restaurant outside of Los Angeles. The entire restaurant has been set up outside. They moved the whole thing outside, and now L.A. County has cut out outdoor dining, and they've reduced it now to either delivery or takeout. Casa Vega is a restaurant that's been in Los Angeles for decades, and this is the owner just talking about the impact on her restaurant.
This restaurant's been in our family for 65 years, and how does L.A. expect us to survive when they've taken away our ability to make money? After we've invested so much money also, playing the game how they want it played. They change the rules constantly.
So that's just a sense of how it's impacting restaurant owners in Los Angeles, and we will keep an eye on things here in the Washington area as to what develops in terms of any further restrictions from local officials in Delaware, Maryland, D.C., and Virginia. Now, the infection rate around the country, 13 million U.S. coronavirus infections now are being reported. Nursing homes in the U.S. are accounting for about 40% of the COVID-19 fatalities. Britain is now moving to quickly approve a coronavirus vaccine with unclear test results in Great Britain. And the impact on students, one quote from an educator, unprecedented learning loss as U.S. students rack up failures as the grading is returning to the pre-pandemic standards. Now, that's the bad news. On the positive side, a panel of U.S. advisors will meet on Tuesday to vote on how the initial supplies of the COVID-19 vaccine will be given out once it's been approved. Experts have proposed giving the vaccine to health workers first. High priority also may be given to workers in essential industries, people with certain medical conditions, and people age 65 and older. The Tuesday meeting is for the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. That's a group established by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the panel of experts recommending who to vaccinate and when, and that's advice that the government almost always follows. The agenda for next week's emergency meeting was posted on Friday. And one note, United Airlines is already flying Pfizer COVID vaccine around the country on charter aircraft. So the rollout is really gearing up already. Pfizer and BioNTech have also asked the Food and Drug Administration to allow emergency use of its COVID-19 vaccine candidate. Moderna is expected to also seek emergency use of the vaccine since. So that's a sense of what's been going on the COVID front. We're going to break for the traffic and weather, and then we'll bring you up to date on what President Trump has been up to. He had a quiet Thanksgiving day, but after addressing the troops, he had his first press comments since the election. He took questions, and we will have some of the answers for you, so stay with us here on the Saturday Morning Update. 616 and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Keep in mind in the district that a portion of Howard Road is closed in both directions between Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue and South Capitol Street, and you will find detours are posted there. And also keep in mind that the Suitland Parkway in both directions between South Capitol Street and First Sterling Avenue is closed for weekend road work, but detours are posted there. So far, traffic is moving well along the Capitol Beltway. Do keep in mind that in Norbeck, there is some road work on northbound George Avenue between Norbeck Road and the Intercounty Connector in the right lane. Now from GarageDroidPair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Plenty of sunshine on this Saturday. We will see some slightly cooler temperatures. We did reach the lower 60s yesterday. Highs today into the upper 50s. Later on tonight, it'll be clear and cold across the region. Lows in the 30s throughout the area. Lower 30s in the suburbs. Upper 30s closer to D.C. and points east towards the Bay. If we head towards your Sunday, morning sunshine, afternoon clouds. High temperatures in the mid-50s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Leggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
45 degrees in the nation's capital, 617 on the Saturday Morning Update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Well, thank you for joining us on WMAL, Thanksgiving holiday weekend. I'm Rick Fowler, and President Trump kind of surprised folks on Thursday. It was a relatively quiet day, and he was addressing the troops, an annual address that typically the president does for our military around the world. And after the address, he began to take questions from the media. So we've got some audio here from the entire event. And before we get to the president, I do want to mention one thing that Robert Redfield had to say at the CDC. And this was his discussion the other day, his comments on the vaccine rollout.
The vaccine is going to begin to be rolled out probably by the end of the second week of December. Initially in a hierarchical way, nursing home residents, and then some combination of healthcare providers and individuals at high risk for a poor outcome.
And President Trump spent quite a bit of the time talking about the vaccine and the delivery. And here's what the president had to say about the rollout of the vaccines.
The vaccines are being delivered literally. It'll start next week and the week after. And it'll hit the frontline workers and seniors and doctors, nurses, a lot of people going to start. And we're going very quickly. Two companies already announced, a third one coming up and a fourth and fifth one coming up soon also. So it's some people have called it a medical, really a miracle. It could have taken 4 or 5 years to do this. Normally it probably would have taken 4 or 5 years just getting it through the FDA. We pushed it very hard. Don't let him take credit for the vaccines, because the vaccines were me, and I pushed people harder than they've ever been pushed before. And we got that approved and through, and nobody's ever seen anything like it.
And the president had another interesting comment on the vaccines, and I thought this was very interesting from President Trump.
There are those that say what I'm doing right now is the single most important thing I've ever done. And I think it may be true. It may be true. The vaccines, and by the way, don't let Joe Biden take credit for the vaccines.
So that's President Trump speaking of the vaccines. Now, he talked a lot about the election, and he also talked about accomplishments. And here's one that he's quite proud of.
Peace through strength. And that's what we have now is peace through strength. You look at what's going on. No wars. They're saying, wow, the president, 4 years, no wars. We stopped wars and we won, as you know, 100% of the ISIS caliphate.
So that's President Trump speaking of that accomplishment. And here's how he addressed the election and also what's next in Georgia.
I just want to tell my people, don't be disappointed yet, because this race is far from over. But I'm going on Saturday night. I'll be in Georgia. We're going to have a tremendous crowd. They're looking for the right site. Probably we'd love to take one of the big stadiums.
So that's President Trump. Now, there's a little bit of confusion out there because the initial read from all the media was that the president would be headed to Georgia today. However, the president is actually at Camp David this weekend. He has no public events scheduled today. And the president's spokesperson, Judd Deere, said that the president will be heading to Georgia next Saturday, December 5th. So a little bit of confusion out there on whether the president will be campaigning in Georgia tonight or next Saturday. But again, the president is at Camp David with no public events scheduled today for the president. We're at 621. You are listening to the Saturday Morning Update. It is great to have you along. We'll have some comments from Joe Biden and Barack Obama. That's next.
I have been fed, that's a fact.
I have been fed, that's a fact.
My credit card purchases give me cash back.
My credit card purchases give me cash back.
No one else gets these rewards.
Sergeant, that is just plain untrue.
What in tarnation?
Sir, PenFed's PowerCash Rewards Card isn't just for military members. Anyone can get cash back on all purchases.
Ah, friggins! You've ruined my favorite song.
PenFed Credit Union. Visit PenFed.org/PowerCash. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
There's no better place to get in on all the football action than with DraftKings, official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, and catch means more with DraftKings. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. If you haven't signed up already, what are you waiting for? Get in the game right from your couch. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now and use code DCWINS. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on all of this week's action. Enter code DCWINS to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code DCWINS only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Just under a minute to go. Mahomes drops back for the pass. He looks. He's under pressure.
I'm Patrick Mahomes, and when it's game time, the pressure heats up. So when it's gift time, I go where there's no pressure at all, Helzberg Diamonds. They've got stunning jewelry at great prices and all the advice you need to bring home a winning gift. Give a gift from Helzberg Diamonds and feel like an MVP.
Get a free Nintendo Switch Lite when you spend $699.99 or more. Offer valid 11/24 through 12/2 while supplies last. See online or in store for details.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
6:24, the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Well, President-elect Biden, as some are calling him, was speaking with the Network News this week, and he did an interview. And just to get a sense of where he is at these days, if you missed this, a little indication of where things are headed. And this is Joe Biden on how the world is viewing what appears to be his election.
America's back. We're at the head of the table once again. I've spoken with over 20 world leaders, and they all are literally really pleased and somewhat excited. America's going to reassert its role in the world and be a coalition builder.
And whip out the checkbook and let everybody get away with anything they want. Oh, sorry. Is the mic on? You saw President Trump's efforts on the southern border, and you saw the numbers of illegal border crossings when the president came in. You've seen those numbers reduced dramatically. Well, here's what Joe Biden says about illegal immigration.
I am going to make a commitment in the first 100 days. I will send a immigration bill to the United States Senate with a pathway to citizenship for over 11 million undocumented people in America.
So a lot of questions about the cabinet. Who will be in the cabinet? And we know that Chris Coons, the senator from Delaware, was eager to become the Secretary of State, but he did not get that gig. Tony Blinken got that gig. And we're going to talk with both John Gizzi and KT McFarland later on about the incoming Biden cabinet. But what about Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren? Elizabeth Warren wants to be the Secretary of the Treasury. Bernie Sanders wants to be the Secretary of Labor. Unions have already started pushing back against the idea of Bernie as the labor secretary. But Joe Biden was asked about the cabinet and progressives like Warren and Sanders.
We already have significant representation among progressives in our administration, but there's nothing really off the table. But one thing is really critical. Taking someone out of the Senate, taking someone out of the House, particularly a person of consequence, is a really difficult decision that have to be made. I have a very ambitious, very progressive agenda, and it's going to take really strong leaders in the House and Senate to get it done.
All right. So there's been a lot of questions about Joe Biden, and, you know, let's say that as he ages, you know, what's going to happen in terms of who's going to start calling the shots and take a leadership role. Initially, you know, everybody was speculating it would be Kamala Harris. But more and more recently, especially with the memoir out now from Barack Obama, the question is, will this actually be the influence of Barack Obama, maybe more so than Kamala Harris in terms of the Biden administration? But here's how Joe Biden addressed that question.
This is not a third Obama term, because we face a totally different world than we faced in the Obama-Biden administration. President Trump has changed the landscape. It's become America first, which meant America alone. We find ourselves in a position where our alliances are being frayed. It's a totally different. That's why I found people who join the administration and keep points that represent the spectrum of the American people as well as the spectrum of the Democratic Party.
Okay, so we saw what President Trump inherited, and looks like we're going to go back to that. Now, President Obama's been out on the book tour, and 60 Minutes, you know, they ran a commercial for him for the interview he did there, and he's been everywhere. And he did speak this week on the Breakfast Club, very popular morning show, and it was kind of interesting. President Obama sort of sits up on an intellectual high and you know, looks down upon many of us, including Hispanic voters. And here's what he had to say about the Hispanic vote.
There's a lot of evangelical Hispanics who, you know, the fact that Trump says racist things about Mexicans or puts detainees, undocumented workers in cages, they think that's less important than the fact that, you know, he supports their views on, you know, gay marriage or abortion.
Former President Obama failing to mention that those were the cages that his administration was responsible for constructing. And that's President Obama. And if you have time over the weekend, 700-page memoir is available to you. I'm sure you can download it on Amazon. We have a check of the news, and then we'll be talking with Jennifer Harper. We've also got Jim Trusty. We're going to look at that lawsuit that Sidney Powell has found in Georgia. A lot of information that she's found, and we'll talk with Jim Trusty about that. We've got John Gizzi coming up. We'll talk about some of the pending congressional races. No, they're not all finished yet. Also, Cheryl Atkinson will join us. Her look at the media. We've got Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, the very latest on the assassination of the Iranian nuclear scientist. And then KT McFarland with a look at the incoming Biden foreign policy team and the pardon of General Michael Flynn. Stay with us on the Saturday Morning Update.
I'm not up early for work. I'm awake for my favorite girl. This is the life I pictured after retiring from the federal government. I want to stay healthy for more days like this, so I picked an Aetna health plan that takes a total approach to my health. It's just for federal retirees. It fits my budget with low premiums and low out-of-pocket costs. I can even get help with some out-of-pocket expenses. I've got other things to spend my money on.
Grandpa!
To learn more or chat live online, visit aetnafeds.com/radio.
This is Mike Donovan, host of Not Free America on Sundays at 10 a.m. right here on WMAL FM 105.9 in the nation's capital. This weekend on Not Free America Radio, economic disaster looms as our GDP crashes. What does losing a third of our economy really mean? Meanwhile, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo takes quarantining travelers to a new extreme, and we talk facts about qualified immunity in the American police state. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. right here on Not Free America Radio.
And a quick check of the news. Iranian scientist linked to the military nuclear program, of course, killed in Iran. The authorities say that he was named by the West as the leader of the Islamic Republic's disbanded military nuclear program, killed in an ambush on the outskirts of Tehran. Iran's foreign minister alleges that the killing of Mohsen Fakhrizadeh bore serious indications of an Israeli role, but did not elaborate. Israel, long suspected of killing several Iranian nuclear scientists a decade ago, declined to immediately comment. A federal appeals court in Philadelphia has rejected President Trump's latest effort to challenge the election results in a case expected to reach the U.S. Supreme Court if Trump appeals. It's the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, the third district, echoing a string of other courts and finding the campaign offering no evidence of significant election fraud. And a panel of U.S. advisors will meet next week to recommend who should be first in line for a COVID-19 vaccine. Experts have proposed giving the vaccine to health workers first. High priority also may be given to workers in essential industries, people with certain medical conditions, and people age 65 and older. It's 6:33 on the Saturday Morning Update, and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
So far, traffic is moving well this morning on 270 from Clarksburg all the way over to the Capitol Beltway, and so far the Beltway looks clear. Headed throughout Maryland and Virginia, no delays to report so far this morning. Traveling on George Avenue northbound between Norbeck Road and the Intercounty Connector, you will find a work zone in the right lane. And do keep in mind that in the district, a portion of the Suitland Parkway is closed in both directions between South Capitol Street and First Sterling Avenue for construction, but detours are posted. Now from GarageJoyPair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Plenty of sunshine on this Saturday. We will see some slightly cooler temperatures. We did reach the lower 60s yesterday. Highs today into the upper 50s. Later on tonight, it will be clear and cold across the region. Lows in the 30s throughout the area. Lower 30s in the suburbs. Upper 30s closer to D.C. and points east towards the bay. As we head towards your Sunday, morning sunshine, afternoon clouds. High temperatures in the mid-50s. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Alex Liggett at the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
It's 45 degrees, 6:35 on the Saturday Morning Update. It's the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. Thanksgiving weekend in progress. Jennifer Harper joins us every week. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Well, good morning, everybody.
One of the big selling points that Joe Biden pitched America on was a return to normalcy. Well, now that it appears America may have that supposed normalcy, not everybody's that happy about it.
No, there are a lot of people that are not so happy about that, and they're sort of wondering about the logic of all this. Because if you've probably noticed in the past many months that Biden has always promised that he was going to bring America back to normal and would all be normal and it would be normal, normal, normal. And, you know, psychologists themselves have long argued about what normal is and what it is not. And now that whole argument has entered the political circle. That's just something we don't need, but we've got it anyway. Because president-elect or presumed president-elect Joseph R. Biden has promised he would make America normal again. But, you know, what does that mean? Does that mean, like, happy press conferences now and, you know, kumbaya moments in Congress? Well, there have been some polls that are already out on that. And a CNN analysis has already cautioned Mr. Biden to stop presenting himself as the normal candidate for president. They said it can backfire. Because the reality of the situation is there's lots and lots and lots of things to do. And being the normal candidate when you have global issues to take care of may not be exactly what people are looking at. And a Yahoo News poll revealed that only 35% of voters believe that the nation will be, quote, normal with a Biden presidency. But I think the person that really summarized what was actually going on is Ben Shapiro. Always has a great column and so forth. And he said Biden's return to normalcy is going to be terrible. He says the incoming president is going to, quote, reopen the swamp for business. He also says that scandals will be, quote, routinely overridden in the name of left-wing policy priorities. This is, again, Ben Shapiro speaking. He said the old normal wasn't good. That's why Donald Trump was elected. It's why Democrats nearly lost the House and why they seem poised to not take back the Senate, despite Trump's personal unpopularity. The old normal stank of cronyism and oligarchy, of corrupt relationships between the Democratic infrastructure and the Democratic Praetorian Guard of the media. Again, this is Ben Shapiro talking. He says today, the media celebrate the return of the old normal. The celebration is likely to again result in a backlash they cannot control, and they'll be just as puzzled as ever about why everyone wasn't as overjoyed as them about the return of the establishment Democratic swamp. So that's what's lurking in, quote, normal America.
Well, I'm looking forward to the press conferences when the hardball questions will be what the flavor of the month is in his refrigerator with ice cream. So, well, Emmy Award-winning New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has been quite critical of the Trump administration, but he must have had an off day. He said something nice.
Yes, this is a very surprising little moment here this week, and it's kind of a change of heart for Mr. Cuomo, and I don't know how long it'll last, but surprise, surprise, Andrew Cuomo has lashed out against the news media because of their hostile treatment of President Trump. How about that? This is what he said. He said there's a nastier tone now with the press, not just in New York, but all across the nation. There's a nastiness, a disrespect that never existed before. This is what he told WAMC. This is actually a public radio station in Albany. And he was particularly annoyed with the behavior of reporters. He said the way they questioned President Trump in some of these press conferences, I've never heard that tone used with a president. They're supposed to be decorum. You can not like the person or disrespect that person, but there's still an institution that each person represents. Mr. Cuomo went on to say, there are reporters who are just unprofessional. They don't know the facts and ask really biased questions. They come with a question to fit what their editor wants for that night. There are reporters who ask questions which are unintelligent. And he says, you want to say, well, I don't like the president, and I don't respect him, but it's still the office of the president. So, he kind of spelled out what a lot of Trump fans said over these many, many months and years. But it was interesting to hear that coming from Andrew Cuomo.
A little too late, but at least he said it, huh?
That's true.
Well, today is Small Business Saturday, and if ever there were a year to patronize small business, this is the one. And you have a special way to help some very special small business people.
Yeah, yes, indeed. If you have a small business in your neighborhood or somewhere close, you know, just pop in and buy a couple of things. You have to remember there are 30.7 million small businesses in the United States, and there are about 11 million of our military vets who are proprietors of small businesses, and it's a good thing to know that the Small Business Association has a lot of resources there. If you know of a vet who perhaps needs a little tutorial or some help or whatever you might think, there is an Office of Veterans Business Development Resources right within the Small Business Administration. That is found at SBA.gov. But let's talk about veterans who own small businesses. And here's a couple of them: Assault Forward, Authentically American, and Urban Metals. Now, does that sound intriguing? Well, they're all owned by vets, and you can visit them today online because there's a group that watches out for veterans who have access to the Internet and sell things, have a commerce site within their business, an online commerce site, and that is called bunkerlabs.org. And they have featured, have a nice compendium of about 20 veteran-owned businesses that you can buy from today if you like. And Bunker Labs is a national nonprofit, and it's a group representing veterans and military spouses also who are entrepreneurs. They say, we are proud to feature the leadership, grit, and tenacity of these entrepreneurs who are working harder than ever to survive and thrive. Again, that's coming from Blake Hogan. He's the CEO of this organization, and that is bunkerlabs.org if you want to take a peek, and it's called Marketplace.
That's great. You know, it seems if you watch Fox News, every one of the hosts and even the anchors now have new books. It's not quite a coincidence, though, is it?
Well, yes, they've always had a lot of books coming out of Fox News. And perhaps unbeknownst to a lot of people, in October, Fox News Books was launched. And that's right. They have a publishing platform. They are publishing now. They have a very interesting relationship with HarperCollins. That's the second biggest publisher in the world. And but they've just come out with their very first book, and boy, it did fantastically well. And this is called Modern Warriors, Real Stories from Real Heroes. It was written by Pete Hegseth. You may recognize him. He's a Fox News Weekend co-host. He's actually a decorated combat veteran himself. And his book was published on Tuesday, and it immediately rose to number 2 on the Amazon list, and it was only bested by, guess who? Former President Barack Obama's A Promised Land. That's his 768-page memoir. So immediately, Pete Hegseth and his salute to real heroes and modern-day warriors, number 2 on Amazon, went right to the top. And if you're curious about Mr. Hegseth's book, it's pretty heartfelt. They're firsthand stories of combat vets from every branch of the military. And it is still, last time I checked, the book was still in the top 10 and ranked number 1 in several of the subcategories there. And I asked Mr. Hegseth what he felt about it all. He said, my heart goes back to the men I served with on the battlefield. He said, these men are the real 1% of America, the warriors who are willing to put their lives on the line for me, for their brothers, and for our freedom. And, yes, there is female military vet in his books there. And, again, Fox News Books is allied with HarperCollins Publishers, and they publish in 17 countries. And you know, while we're at books, let's give a shout-out to Cheryl Atkinson, our pal. She has that new book out, and the title tells all, Slanted, How the New News Media Taught Us to Love Censorship and Hate Journalism, another really great book from Cheryl.
And we will talk with Cheryl about her new book coming up in the next hour. So stay with us here on the Saturday Morning Update. That's Jennifer Harper, of course, at the Washington Times. You can follow her on Twitter at Harper Bulletin. And Jennifer, thank you. It is 6:45, and it is time for a check of the traffic and weather. We'll talk with Jim Trusty right after Michelle Murray gives us the latest.
An incident is now being reported in Virginia, 95 southbound, just south of the Lorton Road exit. The right lane is closed with this accident, so do keep that in mind. Otherwise, no other problems to report on 95 or 395 this morning. You will find a work zone in place if you are traveling on 66. Eastbound between 123 and the Vienna Metro, long-term construction there has the left lane closed. And also watch out for a new traffic pattern eastbound on 66 before Fairfax Drive. Your lanes divide in that long-term road work zone, and you will find the right lane closed. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Plenty of sunshine on this Saturday. We will see some slightly cooler temperatures. We did reach the lower 60s yesterday. Highs today into the upper 50s. Later on tonight, it will be clear and cold across the region. Lows in the 30s throughout the area. Lower 30s in the suburbs. Upper 30s closer to D.C. and points east towards the bay. As we head towards your Sunday, morning sunshine, afternoon clouds. High temperatures in the mid-50s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett at the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
45 degrees, 6:46 on WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Thanksgiving weekend edition of the Saturday Morning Update. Glad that you've joined us, and it's always great to get the legal perspectives of Jim Trusty. He is a partner at IFRA Law here in Washington. He is the former chief of the Organized Crime and Gang Section at the U.S. Department of Justice. Jim, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Wanted to talk to you about the litigation in terms of the election results. Now, President Trump's campaign distanced itself from Sidney Powell. However, Sidney Powell, representing We the People, filed a lawsuit in Georgia on Wednesday. And I wanted to get your read on how valid you think some of the points are in that lawsuit.
Well, it's a very intriguing document, over 100 pages long. It is not on its face some sort of sick joke or something that's laughable or clearly legally insufficient. It has some pretty powerful accusations in there, and it covers a bunch of different grounds, which I'll talk about in a second. But the basis of it is the constitutional claims and the state constitutional claims, like equal protection and due process. But one thing to note right off the top is Georgia's law, when it comes to contesting elections, basically says the fraud or the irregularity has to be sufficient to change or place into doubt the result of the election. And that second part is actually pretty plaintiff-friendly if you're trying to attack the suit. You know, we've talked over the last few weeks, Rick, about how it has to be of a scale to affect the outcome. Well, this statute basically says sufficient to change the outcome or at least place it in doubt. Now, in terms of the different grounds, there's a lot in this lawsuit. I mean, obviously, or maybe not surprisingly at least, the Dominion accusations are there again in terms of how there was internet access, manipulation. She mentions things like that Chinese or Iranian actors may have accessed the voting machines, although at least from the complaint itself, and I haven't seen all the declarations in support of it, but the complaint itself doesn't really lay that out in any great detail. But it's everything. I mean, it talks about false solicitations for absentee ballots, for fake ballots being processed. A poll worker sat there and saw these perfectly pristine all Biden ballots coming in that she had never seen before in 20 years of working the polls, nothing that clean or unfolded. Ballots put in the wrong boxes by the postal workers, votes missed and then recovered on thumb drives during the recount. And then the one that I'm really interested in is this fake water main story, which we had heard a little bit about, but if this is true, it could be kind of a smoking gun for Georgia. So they claim that they had to shut out the poll observers and everyone else from the State Farm Arena where they were processing votes. And this document says 6 to 9 electoral workers went back in and continued to process votes late at night without any of the oversight, without any of the other people around. Now, the water main story turns out to be a leaky toilet, Rick. a leaky toilet that had no effect on where any of these people were doing their voting business. And, you know, if there's video of this, which is what they're asking for in this lawsuit, it could actually show 6 to 9 workers doing something that was pretty extraordinary, you know, going on without oversight and working on these ballots in the middle of the night.
So the question I guess a lot of people would have, Jim, is would these different complaints that she's filing ultimately total enough votes that could change the results of that election?
Yeah, and again, remember the framework is place it in doubt. So you don't have to have a magic formula here, but she was certainly concerned with that notion of it being substantial. And there's a lot of mathematical analysis that weaves its way through this complaint, talking about how the false solicitations for absentee ballots or 20,000 votes from people that apparently had left the state before the election. I mean, the scale of it in some individual instances and also in combination is certainly enough. And she's, again, really importantly, specified that in the complaint, had experts give kind of mathematical expertise to say just Cobb County alone, for instance, would have changed the overall election in Georgia if they had not had these falsely solicited absentee ballots. So I think this is one where she's alleged it correctly to get some traction in the court. Again, whether it wins on the facts or not, we don't know. But it's not facially ludicrous to say these things and think you have a chance of winning the litigation.
So evidence is critical, and all of the pundits and everybody that's critical of Sidney Powell or the Trump legal team are saying, where's the evidence? You touched on some of the math, but tell us a little more about the mathematical and statistical improbabilities.
Yeah, I mean, that's one that can kind of carry over, not even just in Georgia, but to some of this other litigation. And I think that the team, or the segmented team of Sidney Powell, as well as the rest of the folks, are starting to recognize that there's something to work with there, that you can get significant mathematical expertise, again, kind of political slash mathematics, where they can talk about things like, you know, how the dumps in the middle of the night of votes were extraordinarily high for Biden, even compared to other absentee ballots or unsolicited absentee ballots coming in, that these numbers that came in the middle of the night were so much higher than anything else that it makes it almost a statistical impossibility. And then I read an interesting article talking about the bellwether counties, Rick. You know, you have all these counties across the country that are identified as kind of purple counties, where taking them is the key to the presidency over and over again. Well, the 18 of 19 bellwether counties were won by Donald Trump, and somehow he lost the general election. And if you expand it out to 58, the big 58 bellwether counties, Trump won 51 of those. And so these are extraordinarily implausible situations, according to some of these mathematical experts, that you could win these, you know, battlefield-type counties on such a high rate and then somehow lose the state or the general election. Again, I'm not saying any one of these things is the winner. I'm just saying they're not easily dismissible, and that I think some courts are going to dig into this with some traction.
President Trump pardoned the former National Security Advisor, Michael Flynn, earlier this week, and Speaker Pelosi reacted by saying President Trump's pardoning of Michael Flynn is an act of grave corruption and a brazen abuse of power. Trump is again using the pardon power to protect those who lie to cover up his wrongdoing. So, Jim, if you take the facts in the Flynn case and you look at all of the presidential pardons over the years, and you compare them, is Speaker Pelosi strictly political here, or does she have anything of any merit whatsoever in those comments?
Oh, I'd say it's strictly political. I mean, look, there's been very high-profile pardons over the years that were a lot more shocking when you look at the facts than this situation. I mean, Mark Rich was a billionaire fugitive whose wife had all sorts of interesting contributions made to the Clinton campaign. He was initially opposed by DOJ as a candidate because he was, in fact, a fugitive with thousands or at least hundreds of actual victims to his financial crimes waiting for justice. and Bill Clinton gave him a pardon. And we've had family members pardoned. We've had all sorts of pardons over the years where they're a little shaky. But look, I mean, this is a case that was utterly frustrating to the president, I'm sure. I mean, the motion to dismiss was filed 6.5 months ago, and Judge Sullivan was still holding it out and acting as if he was going to have a substantial role on deciding that issue, when almost every other proceeding I've ever heard of in 30 years of practicing law, when there's an unopposed motion to dismiss, it gets granted in a heartbeat. So there was a standoff that went on for an awful long time. The motion to dismiss was based on, I think, very legitimate concerns about how the FBI investigated General Flynn, and even how there was discovery violations when he was finally in court being prosecuted. And the impasse is over. The case is going to be rendered moot by that pardon, and it will finally go away.
So what does happen with Judge Sullivan? Is this just over now? Is it over and done?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I've heard some people say, well, now he'll dismiss the case. I actually don't think he's going to say the case is dismissed on his own principle, I suppose. He's going to probably issue some sort of order that says that the matter is rendered moot by the pardon, which gives him kind of the ability to stick his face out one more time and say, see, I never let him out of the plea, and I never dismissed the case. What's interesting with Judge Sullivan, he's been so opinionated about this at the expense of General Flynn and maybe of Attorney General Barr, it would not surprise me if he still found it as an avenue to take the platform and talk about what he thinks was wrong with this case. So the case is done. There's no question that the case is over. But it wouldn't totally shock me at this point to have Judge Sullivan issue some sort of announcement or write into his order some pretty scathing language because he's been so opinionated about this case for so long.
There was a report that Sidney Powell, who is General Flynn's attorney, did not want a pardon. Would that mean that you'd rather just be found not guilty as opposed to an implication of guilt that had to be addressed with a pardon?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, Rick. I mean, look, I totally understand her mentality on this. She filed a motion to dismiss, or the government filed a motion 6.5 months ago. It's had this tortured history, and by all means, it should have been dismissed. And a dismissal connotes that it never should have been brought in the first place. In fact, that he was innocent, or at least that they didn't have sufficient evidence. A pardon is a device that's originally built towards excusing criminal conduct. So it's basically saying, I know you committed this crime, but I'm going to forgive you. It was kind of a colonial relic that allowed the king to do that. So, look, it's still a very good Thanksgiving for the Flynn family. Don't get me wrong. I don't think that the semantics of that are a terrible overriding factor in terms of their relief that this thing is finally done. But I get her point, which is kind of a litigator's point or a competitor's point, which is, look, I wanted this case buried, in court as being insufficient, rather than forgiven from on high under the circumstances of a pardon.
Jim Trusty, partner at IFRA Law here in Washington, will look forward to your analyses of the litigation as things continue in the run-up to the Electoral College vote. Jim, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Rick. Have a good one.
Thank you, Jim. And you can follow Jim on Twitter at Trusty Lawyer. We got the news coming up at 7, and then it's John Gizzi, Cheryl Atkinson, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and Katie McFarland.
Just under a minute to go. Mahomes drops back for the pass. He looks. He's under pressure.
I'm Patrick Mahomes, and when it's game time, the pressure heats up. So when it's gift time, I go where there's no pressure at all, Helzberg Diamonds. They've got stunning jewelry at great prices and all the advice you need to bring home a winning gift. Give a gift from Helzberg Diamonds and feel like an MVP.
Get a free Nintendo Switch Lite when you spend $699.99 or more. Offer valid 11/24 through 12/2 while supplies last. See online or in store for details.
For years, you've been thinking about getting LASIK. You've been talking about getting LASIK. And now, it's finally time to get LASIK. Plus, right now, you can save $1,000 on your treatment, so schedule your free LASIK exam today. Call 844-211-2020 or visit LASIK1000.com.
If you're nearsighted, farsighted, or have astigmatism, LASIK Plus may help fix your vision with a convenient and patient-focused experience. You'll be treated by Dr. Neil Wills, one of America's most experienced LASIK providers with over 95,000 procedures performed. Call 844-211-2020 or visit LASIK1000.com today and schedule your free LASIK exam to save $1,000. That's 844-211-2020 or visit LASIK1000.com. $1,000 discount applies to treating both eyes with Wavelight procedure. Must mention this ad at center and be treated in December 2020 to qualify. Patients age 40 and over will likely experience the need for reading glasses. Results may vary. See details at LASIK1000.com.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.